Our scripture lesson for the sermon this morning as we continue our consideration of 1 Thessalonians is in 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's found on page 1048, I believe, of your pew Bibles. This is the word of the Lord as he gave to the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12, as it is the word of the living God, it is indeed infallible, it is inerrant, it is recorded without error, written here by Christ's apostle to the church at Thessalonica. So let's attend with reverence to the holy word of God. Again, 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This ends the reading of God's holy word for us at this time. May he bless its reading and its exposition and its hearing. Today's passage begins with the word for, and that's not the preposition as in, I bought a gift for my wife, but for as a conjunction, as in, I bought that gift for it was Valentine's Day. Well, that sounds a little awkward in today's speech. Used as a conjunction, that word for is basically synonymous with because. The Greek word is gar, if you're interested. It means something that I've already said is true because what I'm about to say is true. Chapter 1, you might recall, had a series of such uses of the conjunction for. They were built on the statement about knowing your election by God, as we saw last week. Each one undergirding the previous statement. The true statement which today's passage supports is found in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So Christ's resurrection, of course, is the proof that Christ is the one who has delivered us from the wrath that God justly has for our sins. And Paul's statements in today's reading thus have to do with how it came about that the Thessalonian Christians came to embrace the true God and the gospel of Jesus Christ through the preaching of that gospel. And from this passage, therefore, we learn several qualities of a faithful preacher of the gospel. Now, a faithful preacher is still a fallible man. No one will be perfect in all of these qualities, but awareness of these things, of these qualities, should help you identify faithful preachers and these are qualities for you as well. This isn't as if I'm preaching only to people here who might become a preacher later or something in a professional sense. But these are qualities that you should cultivate as you seek to share the gospel with others. And conversely, false or unfaithful preachers of the word will reject, or they may not even be preachers of the word, frankly, but they will reject and often violate one or more of these principles that we will see here today. So faithful preachers, as we'll see, speak boldly even when mistreated for the sake of the gospel. They speak to please God, not men. They are not motivated by covetousness. They do not seek glory from men. They are gentle. They dedicate their lives to the gospel and the church. They behave righteously. They exhort God's people. They comfort God's people. And they charge God's people to behave as God's people. So as we consider this passage, we'll be considering particularly those lessons. In verse 4, Paul writes, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak." And Paul and his fellow preachers, those co-workers who had accompanied him to Thessalonica, had been approved by God to be entrusted with his gospel. And so in verse 3 and 8 and 9, Paul speaks of having imparted to them the gospel of God. This is not man's message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's message. And the faithful preacher will act as one who is accountable to God. He will take great care with the gospel. He's not going to change it or water it down. He will work hard to handle God's word rightly and to teach it carefully. It doesn't mean that he can make no mistakes as he does that and grow in his knowledge of the word, but he's going to take great care. Verse 3, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." Now think of the quick summary of the gospel at the end of chapter 1. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. If a preacher is telling you that there are many ways to God, or that Jesus did not actually rise from the dead, if he denies the bodily return of Jesus, that Christ is actually going to come back to earth, or the substitutionary atonement, that Christ died for the sins of others, or the coming wrath of God against sin, you know, God's not really mad. Or if he denies who Christ actually is, his full deity, that he's truly and fully God, or his full humanity, that he's truly and fully human at the same time, and thus can be the only mediator between God and mankind. Or that justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. If the preacher is denying basics of the gospel, you don't even need to bother checking to see if they meet any of these other criteria here. But if a preacher seems to have the gospel right, he's wrestling with the word of God, he's not shortchanging it, delivering 10 or 15 minute talks on how to have a more fulfilled life, rather than exhorting you from God's actual word. Well, a faithful preacher needs to have certain other qualities. He recognizes that he is handling God's word, that he's bringing God's message, and so he's going to be endeavoring to fulfill and grow in these 10 qualities we see here. Number one, he will speak boldly, even when preaching the truth causes him to be mistreated. Verses 1 and 2, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. The word for conflict there is the Greek word from which we get our word agony. It means a struggle. It's something that is hard. Acts 16 and 17 record how Paul and his companions were treated terribly for the sake of the gospel when they were at Philippi, the other major city in Macedonia. And how after that, they were similarly mistreated at Thessalonica. And here they arrived at Philippi. They preached faithfully. They wound up in jail after being stripped and beaten with rods. And when miraculously delivered from jail, they didn't even run away, but they stayed and they converted the jailer. And when the town authorities learned that Paul was a Roman citizen and thus beating him with rods was illegal, and that they were going to be in trouble with the Roman authorities, instead of seeking to make amends, they simply asked Paul to leave quietly. There was no justice for Paul in Philippi. And after that, Paul and his friends arrived at Thessalonica, and you might think that they would say, well, let's go about this a little more cautiously. This caused us a lot of trouble when we were in Philippi. But no, they were still bold to preach the gospel, even though they knew it's likely to cause trouble for us here as well. They didn't go out of their way to be troublemakers, but they preached the gospel faithfully. They did not stop, even when similar trouble started to get stirred up against them in Thessalonica, as they had dealt with in Philippi. The faithful preacher speaks the truth boldly. Number two, the faithful preacher speaks to please God, not men. This helps with number one. If you're recognizing that you're accountable to God for what you're saying, you're not going to be so worried about what mankind might do to you. Verses 4 and really the first part of verse 5. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words. They're not out to please men, mankind. They're out to please God. And if that happens to please those who are being converted, of course, that's a wonderful thing. Now, when in an interview, Larry King, some of you will remember him. I know I was talking to a younger member of the Manhattan congregation one time and mentioned to somebody who had been, I remember seeing on Larry King once, and he asked me, who's Larry King? But most of you of a certain age will know who Larry King was. And if you don't know, he was a famous interviewer. He had a television show on CNN for many years, and prior to that on other networks. And he was known as a radio host prior to that, where he did in-depth interviews with all manner of people. Well, when in an interview with Larry King, Larry King asked Joel Osteen if he condemned homosexuality, Mr. Osteen said he didn't want to go there, he didn't want to be negative. Now, that stems partly from his false gospel, wherein he's afraid that if he speaks something negative into the world, it will bring negativity back on him. That's not the gospel, that's the occult, that's witchcraft. It's more akin to witchcraft than it is to the gospel. But he also seemed fearful simply of offending human sensibilities. And contrast that with someone like John MacArthur, who was also interviewed by Larry King, asked the same thing. And he lovingly but boldly pointed out that God's word condemns such things and that the Lord calls all of humankind to repent of our sins and to trust in Jesus Christ. Osteen, I would venture to say, spoke to please men in that context, while MacArthur spoke to please God. Even though he knew he was going to get lots of hate mail and repercussions socially for his statement, he was bold to speak the truth. The faithful preacher speaks to please God, not men. And just so you know, when we say men in this passage, that's the translation of the word that means humankind here. So this doesn't just mean adult males. We're talking about human sensibilities here. the faithful preacher speaks to please God and not human sensibilities. Number three, the faithful preacher is not motivated by covetousness. Again, verse 5, neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. You know, you might not be able to see in our hearts, but God knows in our hearts that we were not after money either. But you can see the fruits of that here. Not long ago in our evening series in Mark, I spoke of those whom Jesus condemned who devour widows' houses. As a current example, I pointed out those who tell people that they'll get a financial return if they sow a seed of money into their ministry. You know, you sow this seed of money into my ministry and God will give you a financial return. Numerous false preachers have gotten extremely wealthy by convincing people of such nonsense, while the people that they've duped give up their life savings to enrich these charlatans. Yes, we should support the preaching of the word with our tithes as God prospers us, but he does not promise some crass financial return, as if you'll get wealthy because you gave more money to the church. And the motivation of the faithful preacher has to be love of God and his people, not enriching himself. A preacher with a larger or wealthier congregation may have a bigger salary, but that's not what he is after if he's faithful. If a preacher asks you to sow a seed into his ministry, which he says God will return to you a tenfold blessing of money or something, well, flee as fast as you can from that false, lying preacher. That is a false doctrine. The faithful preacher is not motivated by covetousness. Fourth, the faithful preacher does not seek glory from men. Again, this is mankind, from human beings. As much as we all like to be liked by other people, much as the preacher with a larger congregation may have a bigger salary without being motivated by covetousness, he's not teaching false doctrines, twisting God's word to get people to give them money. A preacher may get glory from people, but that must never be his aim. If I'm more worried about people liking me as I step into this pulpit, I'm going to water down God's word. I know what the world likes, and it doesn't like what I'm saying right now. His aim, the faithful preacher's aim, must be to please God, to proclaim truth, to shepherd Christ's sheep. Verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men, neither from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul and his companions could have claimed special status as missionaries with an apostle of Christ in their midst, all of them having been sent in one sense by Christ and been commissioned by the church to go out and do this work. They could have lorded that over these new Christians in Thessalonica, but they didn't. They demanded no special honor. They just wanted to see God glorified and his people edified. You can see as you read Paul's letters that his only concern about the respect that he receives from the world or from the church in particular is for Christ's sake. He's worried for people who disrespect him, not because it hurts his feelings and he's just that thin-skinned, but because of what it says about their spiritual maturity and their attitude toward Christ, whose apostle Paul is. The faithful preacher does not seek glory from men. Fifth quality here, the faithful preacher is gentle with God's sheep. Yes, he's bold, but he's not a jerk about it, right? Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So while in verse 2 Paul says that he's bold, it doesn't mean that he was needlessly harsh. He was bold even if it meant bringing hardship on him. He wasn't trying to make life harder for them. It doesn't mean that the gospel wouldn't bring hardship in a fallen world. But he cared for the Thessalonians in the way that a nursing mother cares for her own children. As you know, these days, Kim and I have had the privilege of finding ourselves doing a lot of diaper changes and feedings. Nursing mother is a woman with babies, right? She's got little ones. They're still nursing. The timing of those things, the needs of the child, are not always convenient. Babies don't wait. They're very demanding. And their little faces turn red and they can make an enormous noise for such a small human being. And we don't get angry with them about it. We're gentle with them. That's what a nursing mother does. A faithful preacher does not expect maturity overnight. He's gentle and patient with those who are younger in the faith or those who are struggling in the faith. A faithful preacher is gentle with God's sheep. Quality number six, the faithful preacher dedicates his life to the gospel and the church. That doesn't mean he can't have any downtime. In fact, that's part of making sure that he's equipped to care for the sheep of Christ. Right? If he can't be healthy enough to care for them, then he's not doing them any favors by overworking himself or anything like that. But so it doesn't mean that he can't prioritize his family or have a hobby. But to a faithful preacher, the preaching of the word is not a sideline, nor just a job to do. The church is not just a social activity that's kind of fun on the weekends. But the ministry of the word and the life of the church is the focus of his life. Because Christ is the focus of his existence, and this is the body of Christ. Verses 8 and 9, so affectionately longing for you. Paul's away from them. He's in Corinth as he writes this letter. He longs for them. He can't be everywhere at once, but affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. They didn't just show up and say, here's God's message, see ya. Right? They gave them their lives. Because you had become dear to us. The body of Christ, Christ's people are dear, especially to those who proclaim his word. Notice the great love that he has for this congregation. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. For laboring night and day, we might not be a burden to you. We preach to you the gospel of God, that we might not be a burden to you. They worked hard at preaching the gospel. Indeed, they worked to support themselves while they were there. They made sacrifices for the brethren. They did not demand to be put in the fanciest home in town or provided the best meals. They labored and provided for themselves so that they wouldn't be a burden or that wouldn't become an obstacle for the gospel. See, these people are just out for some money. It doesn't mean that churches ought not to pay their teaching elders and things like that. Paul says elsewhere that we need to make sure not to muzzle the ox as he treads out the grain. But Paul and his mission did not want that to be an obstacle for new believers. So he worked, as we see elsewhere, as a tent maker. The faithful preacher dedicates his life to the gospel and to the church. Whether he's working as a tent maker or not, he's pouring himself into the good of the church and getting the gospel to those who need to hear it. That's what the faithful preacher does. Seventh quality is the faithful preacher behaves righteously. Again, that's not to say that he's sinless. If you're looking for a sinless preacher, you're going to have to wait a very long time. You can only hear a sinless preacher when you hear Christ preach himself. But he's not going to have a life, the preacher of the word is not going to have a life that's characterized by or dominated by sin. Verse 10, you are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. To be devout, literally, to be holy, apart from the fallen and wicked world, justly, to be righteous in conformity to God's moral law, blamelessly, to conduct oneself as one who is in right covenant relationship with God, someone who forgives sins and seeks forgiveness, someone who repents and turns from sin, actively obeying God's commandments. This is rather like the advice I've heard given to Christian parents. Your children don't need to see parents who pretend to be perfect. They need to see parents who repent when they sin and grant forgiveness when sinned against. Similarly, this is what you should see in a preacher of the word. Someone whose life is not dominated by sin, who's not excusing sin, but when he does sin, he's repenting. The faithful preacher behaves righteously. The last three qualities really flow out of behaving righteously. The first one is number 8 in our list here. The faithful preacher exhorts God's people. First part of verse 11, as you know how we exhorted. So we behaved in such a way and exhorted you. To exhort is to encourage godly behavior, to give instruction in righteousness. The Greek participle used here means literally calling alongside. It's related to that word that is applied to both Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. It's the behavior maybe of a parent calling the child to his or her side, guiding and directing and protecting that child, teaching the child how to act rightly in the world. Preaching that does this encourages biblical thinking and godly action. The faithful preacher exhorts God's people. Number 9, the faithful preacher comforts God's people. The middle of verse 11, and comforted. We were there, we exhorted, and we comforted. This is a participle that means comforting, encouraging, consoling. The compassionate restoring of those who stray, who've been disciplined, or who have suffered. Comforting those who are suffering. The faithful preacher comforts God's people. In fact, as we go on in this letter, we see Paul very concerned that the Thessalonians be comforted concerning those who have passed away and comfort one another. And then lastly, number 10, the faithful preacher charges God's people to behave as God's people. The end of verse 11 through verse 12. And charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So this isn't just some magistrate unknown to the people and not knowing them coming and saying, here's how you need to believe. Here's what you need to be doing. No, it's as a father loves his own children and guides them. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God is bringing his people into his kingdom, into his glorious presence. That will be the ultimate fulfillment when Christ returns. How ungrateful if we who are called into that glorious presence and who've been redeemed by Jesus Christ behave then in a way that dishonors that name. Leviticus 11:44, God tells his people, be holy for I am holy. We're to be holy, a holy people, because he is holy. We're to strive to be holy and righteous like he is. So the faithful preacher lovingly works as a father with his children, with God's people, to encourage and guide them into holy living. In fact, we'll see all kinds of advice about holy living in this letter later. This is so that, not so we can be telling you, here's a list of rules that you have to follow to get into heaven. No, that would be a false gospel. So that you can know how to behave as people who are grateful to God and showing that you actually belong to God, that you might have assurance yourself that the Holy Spirit is working within you to change you. The faithful preacher exhorts God's people teaches them to live holy lives so that they can reflect the holiness of the God who has already saved them. The faithful preacher charges God's people to behave as God's people. We'll look for these qualities, of course, to help you identify faithful preachers. And as you share the gospel with others, you should be cultivating these qualities in yourself as well. Speak boldly, even if it gets you in trouble with the world. That doesn't mean you go out of your way to be a jerk about it. That's not the kind of boldness we're talking about. And if that gets you in trouble, as to paraphrase Peter, if you're in trouble with the world because you're being a jerk to other people, well, that doesn't mean anything. But if you're in trouble with the world because you're being faithful to Christ, then Christ rewards that. Speak boldly, even if it gets you in trouble with the world. Speak to please God, not mankind. Recognize that as you carry God's message, it's His message, not yours. It's not something to be changed, of course. But you can know that it's God's word to the world. Do not be motivated by what you can get out of it, whether it's money or just the praise of mankind. Whether whatever it's about winning souls, not scoring intellectual points, for example. Be gentle. Boldness does not mean rudeness or callousness. Be gentle. As Peter says that we should be ready to give an answer when called to account for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect. Be focused on the gospel and the well-being of the church. Be involved in the life of the church. That's incredibly important as we share the gospel with the world. We have to show the priority of the church. Behave righteously in general. Encourage others to hear and to believe and to live out God's word. Comfort God's people. Encourage them to behave as God's people with all holiness. These are qualities of a faithful preacher of God's word. Let's pray. O holy God, help us indeed to identify faithful preachers who can help us to know you better, and cause each of us to cultivate these qualities which will help us as we seek to share your gospel with others around us. For we pray in the one who is the Savior of your people, in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen.